about oh, sorry. Hadn't started the recording in time. So the major block, the risk assessment, we haven't talked about the details of that yet, but we will as well go into it, not too much in this presentation, but leave it for a little bit later. Just to show you a little bit what the different pages look like. Here is a screenshot of the block probability of establishment, the sort of questions which show up, where you, in this case, it's the question, what is the probability that a suitable host, or in the case of a potential weed habitats, are available in the PIA area? So, and you can as well look out for the recording information in the data sheets, but you may as well kind of look wider in the internet or in your library or anything to populate this box. And then you, once you do that and have compiled your information, you then are asked to give it a rating. So what is the probability that a suitable host is present? Quite often you will come up, if it is a palm disease, and on your islands a lot of palms, both commercially grown ones and ornamental and native ones, then it's very likely that you will answer that question with high and give it as well a high confidence rating. But maybe for other species, you're not so sure, and you might kind of say, oh, well, there's only one known host on the island, so I'm not sure if that pest will really kind of find it or thrive on it. It might only give it a low or medium rating, or even as well lower your confidence level. If you really don't find any information to put in a box, so there is not much information out and about, which regularly happens with some of your target pests, then you might not assess this is all and don't give it a risk rating, because you don't really have any information which allows and enables you to do that. Yes. Yeah, well, that's. I mean, a PIA can only be, or it can only be that good as the background information is. And initially, for example, with new emerging diseases and pests, initially often there isn't that much information out and about. And a lot of these individual boxes you have to kind of leave unassessed. But you might still get enough information to give it an overall rating that risk associated with this species is high, because it seems to be that it has become highly invasive recently in other parts of the world without being not much known about its biology, which is particularly, I think, the case with some of the diseases where it's, for example, tree diseases sometimes are just known or described initially by their symptoms, and the causal agents is often in the initial phase of its spreads around the world not really known, and it's the scientists still really need to kind of first research. Yeah, I mean, you can classify it as high risk in that part of the PIA where there is this indirect information available, like there are reports. You're starting that PIA because you have a pest alert or something, and you get at least some information that it has been recorded to be highly invasive or very destructive or so in another part of the world. And so and that will be asked for in some part of the PIA risk assessment as well, to put that information in. And there you can say it is high risk. And then you have, if you're have a complete PIA for well-known species, you have every box, you have a risk rating associated, and you can see that there are, I think about 5 or 6 questions for the probability of establishment. And if you have 4 or 5 of them rated as high, then the overall rating for establishment, the risk of establishment, will be high. And if you have, because of the lack of information, only one or two boxes filled in, but those you can answer with high, then the overall rating will still be high.
That area will just sometimes very user dynamic phrase in something that's a bit complicated, but not too complicated. So that's a question. Here's a scenario. Conducting a risk assessment, or you are conducting a risk assessment for a particular commodity. You're considering it as a food. However, you know that individuals who are going to consume that food the plants.
In that case,
that is a possibility that we see is a pathway for
that.
So
is
how then do you quantify that?
Well, you initially, of course, for that scenario, would start with a pathway initiated PIA, because the fruit may be associated, or a number of pests may be associated with that fruit, and you want to cover them. And the second one would be, you have to kind of complement that with a pest initiated PIA, which just is looking at the fruit itself, so the species, whether that is an apple or so, and whether the apple could become an invasive species. So that would be your pest initiated species, where you just look into the potential invasiveness of apple trees. The association of a seed disease, I think I would that think that would just still fall under the pathway initiated one. So you would look, so not only if there are any mealybugs associated with that fruit, but you would look as well if there are any seed-borne diseases associated with it. Yeah, I mean, you would probably consider it as a fruit because you want to import the fruit. But then if you go then into the list of the pest associated pest species, or, and again, it's not only pests, but as well diseases, then you add the seed-borne disease that as well. And when you are working on that, you just write in the box, there is a disease associated with the seeds of this fruit, and that needs to be as well considered, and it could be distributed, or it could easily spread over your PIA area through purposeful planting by consumers of this fruit. Yeah. Because you're not
assumption.
Yeah, so
in that case,
yeah,
so if I understand that, but do we then consciously know the possibility?
and try as well to see it from the point of doing then risk management. What you are importing are the fruits, and any measurements are kind of are targeting the fruit. But you have, of course, in your mind that they might bring in that seed-associated disease. But you're not planning to import seeds as such, which would kind of require different inspection measures compared to importing the fruit. But I agree, it's so that's in that case the way I would do it. But you have, of course, some leverage, how you kind of define your pathways. And sometimes there are situations where everybody struggles a little bit, which is the correct pathway for this. It's a little bit in between sometimes things, and you either then kind of choose different pathways to which thing, this definitely falls under a combination of these two or so. And then you try to kind of feed the information you've got as best as you can and associate them to these different pathways. But there are sometimes it's tricky to kind of decide on the right pathway. All right. Yeah, can try to look at that a little bit in the afternoon, playing around a little bit with the pathways, and or maybe taking up your example as a fruit and the seed disease, how we could kind of deal with that in any example demo. Yeah.
I see this a lot in there's a new excitement about exotic fruits, exotic plants. For me, that's made risk analysis a lot more common.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to. It could never be a fruitful thing, but I try as much as possible to capture those different variables. If someone is stepping into the supermarket and see something, it's a lovely fruit. Wow! I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to throw the seeds away. I'm not going to destroy the seeds. I'm going to plant it. And then find food is consumed, and then. Plant grows, and soon enough you have a few plants and a few orchards of that.
I will admit I planted a few big plants.
So yeah, it has made risk analysis a lot more complicated. Because you're no longer looking at just the fruit maybe a mite, mite flies, some skin insects, fungus, etc. Looking at what is outside, what carry a fruit fly, we look at that. But then you also have to look at the fact that human being is thinking, oh, I want to plant. Yep. I want to have one of mine, so I don't have to go to the supermarket a few years from now to buy it.
And
sort of complicates
it. It complicates it as well in terms of conducting the PRA. In these cases, where you always have to kind of look at the associated nuisance pests and diseases with a commodity, but as well the commodity itself as a potential invasive species. And at the moment, we have to do two separate PRAs for this, a pathway initiated one and a pest initiated one, which of course kind of increases the workload. And particularly if you say there are many new exotic species which people want to import, that of course makes it complicated. And I think, and we realize that that is makes things a little bit more complicated as well in the PIA process. And so that's what we have already forwarded to the compendia teams designing the tools to consider whether in future updates and versions we can have a sort of combine in that case the test initiated and the pathway initiated approach for importing a single commodity into one PRA. So just to kind of streamline it a little bit better. Okay, if just wanted to explain with the slide which has been on the screen for the last few minutes, when you start the risk assessment with the probability of entry, you normally select the pathways associated with your pest. And the pathways can be anything from a certain commodity import of that, or shipping containers, hitchhikers on in ships and airplanes, passenger luggage, or as well natural spread by wind drift, or for example. And so you just kind of select the pathways which you know from your background research information of the species are the relevant ones, and then they will show up, which is here in that wider green area. Once you select some, they will be listed there. In this case, it would be fresh fruits or vegetables as one pathway, or container and bulk as another one. And when you later on decide, oh, this pathway is actually not appropriate, you could delete it again. And at any stage, you can edit the new pathway. So when you kind of put onto edit, it will open up a new page and ask you some question about this specific pathway and how the pest might be associated with it. So here this slide shows you that a little bit in more detail, how you select your pathways. We got the recommendation from our compendia team. If you want to work offline, try to do that only after you selected your pathways and have them firmly established in the online version, because it's not possible when you're working online to offline, then to add a new pathway into the offline tool and then re-upload that. So it's always good to have at least the pathways already established before you export your PRA offline. At the end of the risk assessment, so once you've gone through all the questions to be answered in for entry, establishment, spread, and consequences, then you click onto the next page, then you have are given a little summary of your risk assessment, the ratings you have given them, and confidence levels, and then you still have the possibility to return to each of these tabs by going to these buttons called edit here and go back there and add more information or take something out or change your risk rating in some cases if you reconsider something. But at the end of the risk assessment, and of course there is the important decision to make here, does the pest require phytosanitary measures? And if you say yes, then it will automatically on the next page bring you then to the risk management page. And the risk management page is gives you the chance to fill in information what measures you think will be appropriate to deal with the different pathways of entry. Again, in this case, it would be fresh fruit or vegetables in that box and container bulk in that one. And you can kind of fill in any appropriate information which kind of inform you what measures are required either to stop that pathway, block it off, or minimize any risk of introduction. But then, of course, you have other possibilities for risk, putting in risk management measures after the entry, so after the place where the pathways are located. For example, you can put in something for inspection or testing in post-entry quarantine, or any possible surveillance and containment and eradication measures in case a species evades inspection and interception. So you can put in all these information in there as well. And there's always then a little box, ticking box associated with this. And as soon as you click that on in your final pest report, that information then will show up there. And yeah, once you've done your pest risk analysis, you end up with a little page asking you to provide a summary. And basically, this is not an automatic putting together of anything you put in before, but you put in your own kind of little paragraph, a summary of your risk assessment, which then will show up in any PIA report. And in the second box, you then have the possibility to outline any recommendations and general summarize next steps. And as well, you have a possibility to provide some contact details in case somebody who's reading the PIA would like to contact you or your agency or perhaps somebody else to ask you about certain aspects of the PIA, because you have to do perhaps a similar one covering the same pest, but in another PIA area. And yeah, and then at the end of it, you can decide whether you want to change the PIA status to complete or whether you still leave it as uncompleted, which allows you to go back to it and put in any more changes.
It's just going to contact detail information that could be where it started, collaborating together, PRA on a shared team, has any questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. As well, yeah, I want to say again that at any time during your PIA, the pest initiated PIA, you can download a report, which is different from exporting a PIA to work on it offline. So what you download there will be just a work document, which you can't re-upload, but that you can really kind of quickly download to kind of summarize your progress on it, or to for sharing, or to put in any additional comments in track change mode, which you then might kind of transfer back into your online version of it. And so it's the generation of a PIA report is a very easy and quick way to change everything into a Word document. So, any question at this stage regarding the general workflow and process going through a pest-initiated PIA? If not, then I would just link to a video. It's a little bit kind of a repetition to what I've outlined now with a further few additional details. It's just about a quarter of an hour. And you can go through it from a slightly different angle.
In this video, we're going to look at setting up a pest-initiated PRA. This type is focused on a single pest that may have multiple pathways of entry. I am on the PRA tool homepage, looking at my personal view, which is highlighted in blue. Yeah. Before starting a new PRA, it is important to consider whether...
Apologies, I've seen that I had to stop sharing screen and have to share it again to allow you to see the video. Just bear with me a second. Okay,
in this video, we're going to look at setting up a pest-initiated PRA. This type is focused on a single pest that may have multiple pathways of entry. I am on the PRA tool homepage, looking at my personal view, which is highlighted in blue. Before starting a new PRA, it is important to consider whether you want to share the editing with others. If that is the case, you need to set it up in a team view instead. I already have some pest PRAs in my personal view, and for this demonstration, I'm going to recreate the first example to show you how to set it up. This PRA is for assessing the risk of red palm weevil to Ghana. So the first thing I'm going to do is start a new PRA by pest. The background and scope of the PRA are entered on the initiation page. The first thing I'm going to do is to enter the name of the pest. Start typing it, and it looks up the index of pest data sheets in the CPC. So I'm going to select the red palm weevil and check that the scientific name is what I'm expecting. Having done that, a button appears which provides the link to the data sheet, and I can click on that and view the data sheet when I'm working on the PRAs. The mandatory fields in the initiation page are marked with an asterisk. So the next thing is to decide whether this is a demo or test PRA or a live PRA. In this case, I'm going to select yes, it's a demo PRA. And then I'm going to enter the country at risk. So that is Ghana. And I need to add a title, so I'm going to create one here, Risk of Red Palm Weevil to Ghana. I can come back and edit that later. There are some calendars here where you can enter the start date and the due date if you want to. And these help you to sort the PRAs in your PRA list on the homepage. Then there are some fields to complete for the background, and you need to really complete these as fully as possible. So the PRA area may be the country as a whole, or you might be deciding that it needs to be a part of the country. And you may have some details about the reason behind the request for the PRA. There's also a drop down here, which provides a simple sort of list for you to select for future reference. So you can select the reason for the PRA that is most appropriate. In this case, I'm going to select that the pest has been identified through horizon scanning. It is important to consider whether previous PRAs exist for this pest already, because that would provide valuable information. So if you are aware of existing PRAs for either the PRA area, if you're reviewing the status of an existing quarantine pest or a pest that was risk assessed some time ago, or if you know of PRAs that exist for other regions, then you can enter that detail here. So I'm going to say that I know that there's a PRA for Tunisia that was already conducted, and I might have the link to add into this text box here. If I don't have a link to an online resource, I would want to add the full details of the reference in the references list. And this starts to compile the reference list for the PRA report. Obviously, I would add full details here. Having completed this as fully as possible, I'll select next to move on to the next page. And this shows you that the PRA tool is arranged around four tabs that relates to the PRA process. So there's categorization, risk assessment, risk management, and then there's a PRA summary. And you can move around the PRA tool in any order, but a workflow is provided to do this logically. So the next stage is categorization. And here, this is where some basic information about the pest is entered, and also a rapid assessment of the pest potential for establishment and impact to determine whether the pest potentially requires phytosanitary measures and justifies a more detailed risk assessment. You can see here that the access to the data sheet is provided. So I'm going to click on that and read up a bit more about the pest. You'll see that the data sheet sections are available to me here. I can go back to my PRA by clicking on the browser tab. Some of these sections have buttons to import data directly from the CPC in a concise format. So in this case, I've imported the names and the taxonomic position. This is just text, so you can edit it or delete it if you want to. It's just provided as a help to start the PRA off. The next section to complete is the presence or absence from the PRA area. You might have some historical information that's relevant, so you could include that here. And then there's the option to select the regulatory status of the pest, if that already exists, so if it's already been recorded officially as a quarantine pest for Ghana. Here, there's an option to add the regulatory statuses of the pest in other countries, and that can be a very useful indicator of whether the pest has generally been decided to be an invasive species. So this section on distribution also has a button to import that data from the CPC. And you'll see that provides a compact format and gives you the date when that data was pulled in. Other sections may not have such obvious imports, and so you would need to do a bit more research to make that content relevant to your particular PRA. And then the final part is looking at a very rapid assessment of the risk for establishment and impact in order to determine whether the full risk assessment is justified. So selecting yes here will take you forwards to the risk assessment. And you should select yes if you haven't got enough information at this stage to decide that the pest is not going to meet the criteria of quarantine pest status. So after categorization, we go into the detailed risk assessment, and the steps here are broken down into four tabs: probability of entry, probability of establishment, probability of spread, and the potential consequences. These are closely related to the structure of the PRA in ISPM 11. If we look at the probability of entry first, you'll see that there's a button here to add a pathway. And this is where we look at adding all potential pathways of entry for this pest. So a list of common pathways is presented to select from. You can add a little bit more detail. So in this case, I'm going to select plants for planting, but you can make this a bit more specific, where you can say palm planting material. And then a form is presented with a checklist of questions to consider when you're deciding on the risk of entry by that pathway. And so there are some questions, some factors to consider, which may structure your research and your conclusions. And each question is followed by a text box for you to enter the evidence that you've gathered to answer that question. So in this case, what is the probability of the pest being associated with the pathway at origin? So here you might be considering where palm planting material is sourced from and the prevalence of the pest in those growing regions. Once you've completed this as fully as possible and added references to the reference section of the PRA, you can then access the Add Rating drop-down menu to select a rating for this particular question and also a confidence level. And you'll see that you can work through the PRA. There's no required order. You can just complete each section when you have information available. at the bottom of this form, there's a summary rating and confidence level for the overall probability of entry by this pathway. And you also have the option to select whether you consider it to be a major or a minor pathway. And to conclude this stage with, does this pathway require management measures? So if the pest were to establish, spread, and cause impact, would this pathway require management? So you can select that. And that updates the probability of entry page. It brings through the pathway you've selected and the summary rating and confidence level. And you can always go back and edit that pathway by clicking on the edit button when you have more information to add, perhaps at a later session. You would then add more pathways if they were relevant and work through the assessment of each in turn. And you are asked to conclude whether phytosanitary measures are required for each pathway you've assessed. If the answer is no for some of those pathways, then they will not be considered further in this PRA. Now, the other thing to add just on this page is that the PRA tool does provide an option to export the risk assessments to be edited offline in Word. And I just want to show you that the button to do that is here, and it's provided on this page so that you have the option to add the potential pathways so that the template sections are created for each pathway before you produce the export. So I'm going to have a look at the next step of the risk assessment, the probability of establishment. And you'll see there's a similar format with a set of questions. In this case, talks about suitable host vectors, other elements that would affect its likelihood of establishment, and also a summary page here. And at this point, I'm going to stop this PRA and go back to the home page and show you the example that already has a bit more content in it so that you can see how the risk assessment is concluded. So this shows you the initiation and the categorization that has a bit more information in it. And then we go on to the risk assessment and we can click through to the tab, which is the risk assessment summary page. So here we can see that there's a table which brings forward the pathways that have been assessed and also the other steps of the risk assessment with their ratings and confidence levels, so that you can then determine the overall likelihood that this pest could enter and cause some damage, in which case it would require phytosanitary measures. So that's the conclusion of the risk assessment. Having concluded the risk assessment, risk management is then presented as another page with each of the relevant pathways brought forward. Although the text boxes appear small here and headings are not provided, there is no limit to the content and subheadings that can be added into these text boxes, and they look more expanded in the PRA report. It may be useful to refer to the options used in the pathway initiated PRA workflow for pre-border headings relating to the plant commodities, because that just gives you a sort of structure. But post-border phytosanitary measures can be selected in this section with details added to the text boxes underneath them. So, the conclusion of risk management may select the most appropriate measures or a priority for the risk management and a way forward. So, having concluded the risk management, the PRA tool then takes you through to a summary page where the risk assessments, including the pathways and the risk management measures, have been selected. And text boxes are provided to conclude the PRA, which includes a summary for the phytosanitary measures that have been selected. There's also a specific place for next steps associated with this PRA. So in this case, the next step would be to send it out for peer review and also to add the contact details for the PRA report. The PRA can be finalized by clicking change PRA status to complete to yes. You can still go back and edit it again if you want to, but it just shows as a completed PRA in your PRA list on the home page. And from here, having entered lots of data, you can download the report directly into Word at the bottom of this page. But I just want to show you that the PRA report is available from any of the sections to be accessed at any time with the data as complete as it is at the point you create the report. Initially, it shows you a view in HTML, which can be quite useful just for reading through and checking how it's coming along. Perhaps it might be the first time you've looked at it if it's a team view of a PRA that your colleagues have entered the data for. But then you can also download the report into a Word document for sharing and editing offline. I'm just going to open this, and you'll see actually I've opened it with navigation view on because this is actually quite handy to navigate through the document. You'll see that the different sections are shown here. So the Word document contains all of the relevant information that you've put into the PRA tool. So I'm just going to stop sharing that, and I think I've shown most of the features of the pest initiated PRA pathway, but there is further help on the help page with a user guide that provides a bit more detail on the steps that I've just showed here.
So that's your pest initiated PRA in a nutshell. Any? Yeah.
Welcome to this introduction to the PRA tool. The PRA tool is a decision support tool developed by.
Okay.